STR Podcasts and Radio are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
Hello. Okay, we got a new challenge hot off the press here. And this is a challenge pertaining to the issue of abortion. So here's the challenge. Medical death occurs when electrical activity in the brain ceases. A corollary of this would indicate that medical life occurs when electrical activity in the brain starts. Thus, an entity without electrical activity in the brain is not alive. And so, of course, the point they're trying to make is that since the embryo doesn't have a brain, it can't be alive, it's not a person, and therefore abortion would be morally permissible, or even embryonic stem cell research would be morally permissible, since this embryo that we're talking about doesn't have a brain, and of course, no electrical activity. So what's the best way then to understand what this objection is and how to respond to it? Well, several years ago, I developed this flowchart to help me sort of think through all the various defenses there are for abortion and how to respond to them. And so if you take a look at the chart right now, here, you'll notice at the top, it begins with a question. Is the unborn a human being? And I want you to see how this flowchart will kind of help us sort through this particular challenge and find out what precisely is the nature of their defense and what's the best way to respond. And so this first question, is the unborn a human being, can be answered yes with regards to our particular objection, because they're not denying that the unborn is not a human being. They're making some other kind of claim. And so if you follow the yes to the next section of the flowchart, you'll see the next question, and that is, are all human beings valuable? Now, to this question, they answer no, because naturally they're saying that there's some that don't have a brain or don't have electrical activity in that brain are not human beings. And so then if you follow the no, you'll come to this next section of the flowchart, which describes their position. So in this particular challenge that we're dealing with, their defense of abortion disqualifies some human beings from being valuable or being persons. And this is precisely the nature of this type of argument. So this defense for abortion then affirms that the embryo is a human being, but it denies that all human beings are persons. Now, what characteristic are they using to disqualify some human beings from being a person? Well, notice they're not using skin color, okay? They're not using ethnicity. They're not even basing it on what sex the human is. Instead, what they're using is whether the embryo has a brain. And they're saying that human beings without a brain are not alive or are not persons, and so therefore it's morally permissible to kill them. Now, according to this flowchart, what's the proper response? Well, you can see there that the arrow points down and shows that we're talking about the sled test. This is the proper way to respond to any kind of defense that disqualifies some human beings from being valuable or from being persons. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole sled test right now because I've addressed that several times before in other videos and challenges. But I do want to point out that the sled test would sufficiently respond to this particular challenge. Because notice what they're doing. They're saying that there are some human beings that can be disqualified from being persons or from being alive or whatever you want to call it, simply based on the fact that they don't have a brain, simply based on the fact that they haven't developed enough. And of course, the L in the sled test stands for level of development, and we can show how this ultimately results in unjust discrimination, because they're basically saying that unless you're developed enough, you can't be considered a human being. What I want to do is focus specifically on the definition of medical death. And notice what they've done. They said that medical death is when you have a lack of electrical activity in the brain. And so naturally, if the embryo doesn't have a brain, it can't possibly have electrical activity in the brain. And so therefore, they're equating the embryo, the human embryo, to a medically dead person. Now, there's two responses I want to offer to this challenge. The first is this. The claim that a human embryo in the womb that doesn't have a brain is the same as a person who is clinically dead because he has no electrical activity in his brain is simply nonsensical. The two are not the same. A brain-dead person is clearly a dead human being, but an embryo in the womb is alive and growing. I mean, it seems like a stretch to say that the embryo that's alive and growing inside the womb is the same as a clinically dead human being. In fact, an embryo could do a lot of amazing things that even born human beings can't do. An embryo can survive without a heart, without a brain, without a lung. An embryo can survive underwater for months. An embryo can double its size every few hours. All that an embryo needs to survive is the same thing that you and I need to survive: nutrition and proper environment. You give a human embryo those things, the same things that we need to survive, an embryo will do just fine. It'll grow and develop without any problem. Dead human beings don't do that. But a second problem with this challenge is the definition of death that they use, and then how they apply it to the unborn embryo. So it's not as straightforward as simply saying, well, death is when you have no electrical activity in the brain. Now, certainly, the cessation of electrical activity of someone's brain does correlate with their death. But this is just like a person's, if they have a cessation of their heart pumping, this would also correlate to their death. Or if a person's, you have a cessation of a person's lung breathing, that would also correlate with the person's death. But just having a person's organ stop functioning doesn't define death. There's something more that needs to be said. Because at the moment of brain death, or lung death, or heart death, you still have the person's body continuing to function. The cells are still alive. The heart might still even pump, even after brain death. Now, of course, this doesn't happen indefinitely, but it certainly is the case that the cells are still alive immediately after the death or cessation of the activity of a person's brain or heart or lung or whatever. So what escapes the body at the moment of brain death? Well, it can't just simply be, you know, electrical activity. There's something else, and here's what it is. The body loses its ability to act as an integrated whole. It loses its ability to coordinate all of its organs and all of its body systems in such a way to support the health and the function of its body and the whole organism. This is a much more accurate definition of life and consequently of death. Because once the body ceases to operate as an integrated whole, that is when death occurs. So according to this definition, the embryo is not dead. An embryo is alive. But it's not alive simply because it's just a clump of cells and all the cells are living. Rather, it's because the embryo works as an integrative whole to make all of its body parts and organs, if it has any, to function together for the benefit of the entire organism. That's what the embryo has. That's what defines life. And since the embryo hasn't lost that capacity to act as this integrative whole, it is not a dead thing. It is quite alive. So to summarize, this objection is nonsensical. It violates the SLET test. It doesn't use a proper definition of death and of life. And so consequently, based on clear thinking and reason, this objection to the pro-life view is logically dead.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts and radio program are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.